And now, Don Blackwell.
Many people have lost their souls because of money, and such is the case with the individual that we're going to be studying today. The study today centers around the one that we frequently call the rich young ruler. We started studying about this man last week in Mark chapter 10 and verse number 17. If you have your Bibles, we invite you to open it and follow along with us for this study. We noticed last week some very special and significant things about this rich young ruler. We noticed first that this man was one who had the right attitude. He had the right attitude. The text says that he came to Jesus with eagerness. He came earnestly desiring to know about his salvation. In fact, it says that he came running to Jesus. But not only did the man come with the right attitude, the man came to Jesus in the right manner. He came to Jesus with respect and with reverence. The Bible says that he kneeled before him. He came not only with the right attitude and in the right manner, but when he got to Jesus, he asked the right question. The man's question wasn't about the physical body or about this world or about honor or pleasure. The man's question was about his soul. He wanted to know, what must I do to inherit eternal life? The man also came at the right time. Matthew tells us in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 20 that he was still a young man. He came during the most opportune and significant portion of his life. He came while he was full of vitality and strength. And we find out, very importantly, that he came to the right person. He came to Jesus. He came to the one who could answer his soul's desire. He asked Jesus, "Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Jesus' answer to the man is very interesting. Jesus says, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God." On the surface, it seems that Jesus was denying his deity. But friends, just the opposite is actually true. Jesus was telling him, "I'm not on par with a rabbi. If you acknowledge me as being good, as the evidence indicates, there's only one who is good, and that is God." Jesus was saying, "I am God." Jesus' answer to this man is of great significance to us. It was a testimony to the deity of the Lord. The man asked Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus tells him, "You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." He told the man, essentially, obey the law of Moses. Obey the law that you live under. Friends, the same answer could be given to us today. Obey the law that you live under. But the fact is, we live under a different law than did the rich young ruler. Today we live under the New Testament law, the law of Jesus Christ. In verse number 20, the rich young ruler responds to Jesus by saying, "Teacher, all of these have I kept from my youth." Sometimes people have accused the rich young ruler of boasting or exaggerating. I don't believe that is the case. I don't believe he was exaggerating. Jesus doesn't accuse him of that. In fact, Jesus accepts his answer. In verse number 21, the Bible says, "Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him." The word "looking" in the text indicates that he probed his heart. He scrutinized him intently. And knowing the truth, Jesus loved this young man. Friends, these words suggest a personal attachment, a degree of affection beyond that he feels for all men. Friends, this man was of an unusually outstanding character. He had a moral excellence exceeding that of the average man. This man was keeping the law, and he had done so since his youth. How far inferior are so many of us today who neither keep all of his commandments now, neither have we done so since the time we were children. But as outstanding as this man was, Matthew tells us, he still wants to know, "What do I still lack?" Matthew 19 and verse 20. The answer comes back from Jesus, "One thing you lack." Ladies and gentlemen, the implications of this are powerful. Because if a man with such a character as excellent as his, and moral standards as high as his, still lacked one thing. How enormously short we must come, who are vastly inferior to him. The idea that one so good as he still lacked one thing makes me very uncomfortable. It tends to stir fear in our hearts, because Matthew chapter 7 and verse 14 says, "Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." And it makes me want to stop what I'm doing and to consider my life and to do some self-examination. And friends, I want you to notice about this rich young ruler. He had learned, he had figured out that this world and its attainments could not satisfy the desire of his soul. Some people never figure that out until it's too late. Some people spend their entire lives searching for the thing that will finally calm the hunger of the soul, but they never find it. It took Solomon most of his life to reach this understanding. And as an old man, Solomon finally said, "I've tried it all. I have scoured the earth. I have tried wealth and wisdom and women and wine, but nothing makes life worth living except one thing." He says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Ecclesiastes 12 and 13. All of the money that this rich young ruler had, but it could not give him the serenity of life. And as a matter of fact, it ends up being the barrier which keeps him from obtaining it. All of the money in the world is powerless to buy that one thing that can bring true happiness in this life and the life to come, and that's the approval of the Lord. Friends, some of the happiest people on earth barely know where their next meal is coming from, while some of the most miserable, wretched people in the world live in mansions. The Lord said, "A man's life does not consist of the abundance of the things which he possesses." Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. And we've got to give credit to this man. He understood that. Neither did his social standing satisfy the longing of his heart. Social standing cannot bring me peace in the presence of God. On the day of judgment, it will not matter if I were the president of my country. I will stand before the throne of the Lord, a soul like any other. And the glamour of this world's flattery will be forgotten forever. The rich young ruler, for him, even a form of religion was unable to satisfy the needs of his soul. And we learn from him that a man may go a long way in religious practices and still be lost. This man's problem, it appears to me, was that he thought he could be saved by some act of his own. If he could just learn what that act was, he could boast of all of the sins he had not committed and all of the evil deeds that he had not done. And he was looking, "What more can I do?" Friends, the Bible says we are saved by grace, according to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. Now, don't misunderstand. The Bible doesn't teach grace only. A man does have to be faithful to the Lord or he'll lose his soul. A man does have to obey the gospel or he will lose his soul. But I won't be saved on the day of judgment because I have earned it, because I deserve it. It will be because of God's grace and my acceptance of it by obedience to the New Testament. I want you to notice an answer to the question. The man said, "What one thing do I lack?" Jesus said, "There's one thing that you lack." Verse number 21, "One thing you lack." Jesus said, "Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me." Never prior to this had Jesus ever given this as a condition, and never again is it bound as a commandment on any disciple. Then why does Jesus bind it here upon this young man? Friends, the answer is, the first qualification to be a follower of the Lord is that I must die to self. I have to surrender my will to God's will. Nothing can stand between me and my Lord. And probing this young man's heart, Jesus knew the one thing that he loved supremely. And so he tells him that he will have to let it go. Friends, the Lord does not tolerate divided allegiance. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24 says, "No man can serve two masters." And so Jesus sets a test before this man. Will he allow himself to be severed from his wealth in order to follow the Lord? You know, people have often said the Lord does not bind on us what he bound on the rich young ruler. But there is a very real sense in which he does. Because whatever it is that stands in the way of me wholly surrendering my will to the Lord, I must get rid of it. Whether it be property, power, social prestige, pleasure, or whatever it may be. And like the rich young ruler, many people today fail the test. Verse 22 says, "He was sad at this word, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." He who so eagerly came to Jesus with such high expectations now walks away slowly, crushed by the news that he has just heard, having his back turned on eternal life. Surely he must have had some concept of what he was deliberately rejecting. I think that's the reason for his sorrow. He knew. He did not flippantly turn away. He did not mock, nor was he full of scorn. Rather, he went away full of sorrow, no doubt regretting that he could not bring himself to comply. Friends, sometimes an injustice is done to this text, because we equate this rich young ruler to the greedy rich in this world whose sole aim in life is money. That is not this man. Rather, this man represents those whose love for riches just barely exceeds their desire to serve God. Those who go far in obeying the Lord. Those who have done many things. And I imagine if the Lord had commanded him to make a yearly pilgrimage, or to fast twice a week, or to engage regularly in prayer, or hundreds of other things, he would have gladly complied. But the Bible says he went away sorrowful. But friends, the emphasis is not on the word sorrowful. The emphasis is on the fact that he went away. Because if he had gone away laughing or scoffing, the result would have been the same. Having made his decision, he walked away, and the Lord allowed him to go without even a word. Friends, ask yourself today, are you serving the Lord with all of your heart? Is there anything standing between you and your service to God?